Thank you, Yul. As I said last week, Peter began what will be a short series called Moving Forward. And with this short series, we're outlining three spiritual goals for our church. We want to grow and deepen in our love for God, our love for the church, and our love for the lost. And last week, Peter began by looking at what we know as the Great Commandment. Jesus was questioned which was the greatest commandment, and he responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." But to love our neighbor includes everyone and anyone, really, and Peter will be looking at that in a wider context next week, but within that is included the church. We want to grow and deepen in our love for the church. So we've got to ask, what or who is the church? We might say the church is the community of all true believers. Paul refers to the church in Ephesians 2 as the household of God. In writing to Timothy, he says, we are to treat each other as mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. In other words, the church is a family. Also in Ephesians and in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul refers to the church as the bride of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul refers to the church as a body. And each of these images conveys to us that we are inseparably together. Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, looking at the Christian community, he says that Christian brotherhood, it's not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ, which we may participate. If you listen to Ephesians 2, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul goes on to say that all of those who are in Christ are one man, one body, the household of God. There's no such thing as no strings attached Christianity. We are attached to each other whether we like the idea or not. We often say you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. See, being in a spiritual family, back to the Bonhoeffer quote, being in a spiritual family or community, it's not an ideal that we strive for if we want to. It is a given reality of being a Christian, and we are privileged to be able to live this life together. So you see, we cannot separate Christ and his people. We cannot make Christianity me and God, or me and my faith. By God's grace, we have been brought together in Christ. And God's desire is that we love each other, which is a natural outworking of loving God. Jesus said in John 13, "Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." We are to love each other in the way that Jesus has loved us. In the context in John 13, it comes after Jesus washed the disciples' feet. See, because of his love for us, Jesus humbly serves us. And of course, the greatest display of that love was when he humbly served us at the cross. How we love each other is a reflection of Christ's love for the church, which is quite challenging in and of itself. Or in Romans, as Paul begins to apply the great gospel truths that he has built up in Romans, he says in chapter 12, he says, "Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." I read that great love passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says basically that the greatest thing we can do for each other is to love each other. Paul writes to the Galatians, through love, serve one another. Paul writes to the Ephesians to bear with one another in love. To the Colossians, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Peter commands the believers he is writing to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. 1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his neighbor. So we can't deny this command to love each other within the Christian community. Loving each other is the practical application of loving God. If you know God, if you know his salvation, if you're trusting in Christ, the evidence of this is that you love one another. But there's a specific purpose to this loving community. The primary purpose of these loving relationships is our sanctification. We love each other with a spiritual goal. Your sanctification, your growing to become more like Christ, happens as you live within loving community. This is how God has designed his body, his household, and we trust that this is God's good design. If we think back again to Ephesians chapter 2, we've been brought near to God and each other by the blood of Christ. And the purpose is that the whole structure, that is every member, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The purpose is our holiness, our sanctification. Further in chapter 4 in Ephesians, we read that Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, each of us plays our part within the body of Christ to ensure that we are all growing, maturing together to become more like Christ. We are to love each other with a redemptive purpose. See, we don't meet as a body of believers with our own purpose and plan and goal. We meet to carry out God's purpose and plan and goal. And that may well go against our grain. We often like to set our own agendas and goals, and we like to achieve them in our own way. God's goal is that a body of believers is that we reach maturity in Christ. And this happens as we love each other within the Christian community. We want to love each other with a redemptive purpose. Listen to what Paul says to the Thessalonians. He says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. Love each other with the purpose of holiness. You see, we're called to more than merely friendship. We have a specific, a spiritual purpose and goal to our relationships. So I wonder, how do you view other believers here in this room this morning? Is your desire to love each other in such a way that you may grow more mature in Christ? Well, let's ask then, how do we love each other in a redemptive way? Here are a few things to think about. First thing, we need to attend church meetings. Pretty simple. We can't love people that we don't see or that we are not with. Listen to Hebrews 10. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I was reading Tim Challies on these verses this week, and it was interesting. He said, the first sin of skipping church is the sin of failing to love others. See, what we see in Hebrews 10 is that the purpose in attending church is to be a blessing rather than to be blessed. The purpose in attending church is to give rather than to receive. As we travel to church on a Sunday morning, we need to ask ourselves, how can I encourage a brother or sister today? How can I stir them up to love and good works? There's a phrase I have heard several times, and if I'm honest, it always grits on me a little bit when I hear it. You may be speaking to someone and they'll say to you, I've left my church and I've moved on to another church because the church I was at, I just wasn't getting anything out of it. Can you see how that is the opposite of what the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging us to do? We don't attend church to get something out of it, or out of them, I should say, but we go to church to give something to them. Paul says to the Philippians, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. See, we come back to me and my faith. Perhaps you even know someone who is a Christian, but they don't go to church. They just don't really see the need to go to church. We will never grow and deepen our love for each other if we are not physically present. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the Barnet Group or been on their website. They're an organization that gathers statistics on various Christian issues, and some of them are very interesting to read sometimes. But I was reading some on this idea of being a Christian community. And this is what they report. It showed, firstly, that 78% of the Christians they interviewed strongly agree that spirituality is very important to them. I don't know why that wasn't 100%, but regardless, 78% strongly agree that spirituality is very important to them. But only 18% claims to be totally committed to investing in their spiritual developments. But here's the one I'm interested in. Only 21% believes that spiritual maturity requires a vital connection to a community of faith. And I find that quite alarming because I believe it blatantly contradicts God's word and his purpose and his means of us growing in faith. So we've got to be here, but we've got to be more than just here. Jim Elliot once said, and I often think about it, wherever you are, be all there. The second thing we need to do, again, simple, we need to talk to each other. To grow and deepen our love for each other, we've got to talk to each other. Now, this sounds very obvious, but I think particularly as our church grows in numbers, it becomes more easy to kind of slip in and slip out and never properly engage with anyone. The risk with larger churches is that we actually love each other less. We can be faithful to Sunday services and even midweeks, but perhaps never actually engaging with conversation with each other. We're not actually using the opportunities to grow in redemptive love. When I was teaching piano, of course, the purpose in the child coming and the goal of our relationship was that they would learn piano and then improve as time went on. And to state an obvious point, if I never talked about piano and we never practiced piano with the time we spent together, well, then we'd never learn piano. And it wouldn't be long before a parent would say, well, there's no point to this. I'm not sending wee Johnny there to talk about his day. Now, when someone came in, I would ask them how their day was, what was happening in school. Most of them were people I'd known for many years. I was genuinely interested in them. But the priority and the focus of the time was on piano, because that was the purpose. That was the goal. And so, as we come in the body of Christ, we have a specific purpose and goal to our conversations. Paul says in Ephesians 4, go back to Ephesians again, he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into Christ. In other words, our communicating with each other is a means by which we encourage each other to become more like Christ. For a long time, I had thought of speaking the truth in love as simply pointing out harsh truths to our brothers and sisters, but doing it in a loving way. But the focus here in this passage is gospel truth. We read earlier, Christ gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, each of their role is to present biblical gospel truth. So when people teach from the front, when Peter and I teach each Sunday, that is to equip all of you for the work of ministry to each other. Verse 14, so that you won't be carried by every wind of doctrine, but rather speaking the truth in love, grow up into Christ. You see, our purpose and goal for being together is to mature in Christ. And the way we do that is by speaking the truth, the gospel, Christ, to each other. Like my piano students, it's not that we can't have conversations about the weather or sport or whatever else. But if our conversations never go beyond that, well, we've got to ask, is there a lot of point to our time spent together? The priority and the focus of our time should be on speaking gospel truth to each other. And I think there are very simple ways we can engage with each other in gospel conversations. One very natural way is after a Sunday service, talk about the sermon. What was the main thing you took from today? How might that help you this week? Or perhaps you're chatting to someone you haven't spoke to before. Ask them how and when they became a Christian. This brings the focus to the relationship. The thing we all have in common is Christ. He's the reason we are together. On Easter Sunday, we had two baptisms, and I left church after Easter Sunday just buzzing after hearing what the gospel had done in Raymond and Alex's life. I love hearing conversion stories. I'm sure you do too. It's so encouraging. It points us to Christ. Or perhaps it may just simply mean in conversation you say, you know, I was reading this the other day from the Bible and it really encouraged me. And share it. Can I share it with you? Can I encourage you with this as well? Or perhaps if someone's speaking to you and they've been speaking about a hard work, encourage them with a promise from Scripture. Speak the truth in love. And I do think that speaking the truth in love will involve perhaps some of those harsh conversations that we thought about just earlier. It will involve being able to talk about sin struggles in our lives. If your goal in loving each other is sanctification, this will involve speaking about sin. And as we speak to each other horizontally, surely then it's only natural that we talk to the Lord vertically. We are united to Christ and to each other. We are in continual communion with Him. Our fellowship is in Him. So thirdly, pray together. Praying with someone will allow us to grow and deepen in redemptive love. Suggesting to pray with someone says to them, I love you. I care for you. I want to help you in this. I want you to know the Lord is with you in this. I want you to know his love. I want you to mature in Christ. So take opportunities where you can to simply pray with each other. Now, maybe you struggle to engage in gospel conversations and to pray with each other. Most of you, I'm sure, know we have prayer and study groups, and they do what they say on the tin. That is why they are there, to read Scripture, to talk about Scripture, apply it to our lives, and pray together. And it also allows you to build trust as you see the same people regularly. So if you're not in one, perhaps that is something to think about. It's a great way to help us to grow and deepen our love for each other and continue this ministry to each other. So let's not limit our times to just Sundays. Fourthly, then, if we want to grow and deepen our love for each other, we should practice forgiveness. Following on again in Ephesians, Paul gives further instructions about our speech. He says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. If you know God's forgiveness, you will forgive each other. As God loved us and forgave us, so we love and forgive each other. To forgive each other, what does that mean? Well, it means we're not going to bring up that sin again or use it against the person. Or we're not going to bring that sin up to others so that they will think badly of that person. And we're not even going to bring that sin up in our own minds and dwell on it and perhaps even punish that person in our own minds. Because an unwillingness to forgive will stunt our growth in love and limit our maturity in Christ. In a biological family, we know that forgiveness is an everyday part of life. It's that ongoing forgiveness that allows our love to grow and deepen. And so it is within the body of Christ. Ongoing forgiveness will allow our love to grow and deepen and give us greater understanding of God's love. Finally then, to grow and deepen in our love for each other, we help and serve each other practically. In Acts 2, we get a picture of how the church shared what they had materially whenever there was a need. Again, in Romans chapter 15, we read, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. As a church community, we bless each other spiritually, as we've thought about, and also practically. In writing to the Philippians, Paul was thankful for their concern for him physically and the gifts which they provided for him, which provided for his physical needs. Galatians 6, we read, bear one another's burdens, and furthermore, do good to everyone, especially the household of faith. To bear one another's burdens means we take part of the burden. We feel part of the weight of the burden for our brothers and sisters. When we moved to Carrick, we were further away from parents, and some of you have helped us to share the burden of childcare. We've been so thankful for that. It shows you love us. One simple way we can share the burden. If anyone else would like to serve us in that way, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. Please sign on your way leaving. Anyhow, we have recently, too, in church here, set up a visitation team, and that is to share the burden of those elderly, housebound, and sick. And you know, it has been such a blessing as we have set this up to just sit and watch people so genuinely willing to share the burden, to sacrifice your own comfort and time to serve others. Such a great thing to do. Perhaps if you know someone is struggling financially, it's probably one of those ones we're not as willing to share, to say we're struggling financially. But perhaps if you know, share the burden, give to them. May mean you're a bit tighter this month, but it's a way you can share the burden. We struggle along together. There are 100 and more different ways we can help each other out practically. Where you see a practical need, meet that need if it is at all within your means. And perhaps if it's not within your means, but you see a need, go speak to someone else, get someone else on board to help and meet needs where we can. We don't grow and deepen our love for each other from a distance. We grow and deepen our love from being involved and more involved with each other's lives. Do we live life daily with each other in mind? Do we plan and make decisions thinking how this may affect my brothers and sisters here in Christ? If we love God, we love his family. And when we love his family, we can then begin to show his love to others, which really sets us up for what we will think about next week, to grow and deepen our love for the lost. And he finished this with John 13 again, where we began this morning. The words of Jesus, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you again. What a blessing and what a privilege it is that we are here as your family, as your body, as your bride. And what a thought it is that you have brought us together in Christ, that it cost the blood of your Son. And so we thank you. And Father, as we come each Sunday, as we think about each other, may we just see the privilege and even see the wonder that it is that we are here together as family in Christ. Father, help us to continue to think about these things. Help us to think in our own minds and hearts how we can most effectively love each other in a way that will help us mature in Christ. Father, may we have good gospel conversations with each other. May we pray together. May we forgive each other when we need to. And Lord, may we serve each other just in any way that we can. Please continue to work in our hearts. Teach us how to love each other. And in all this, give us a greater grasp of the love of Christ, of your love for us, of how you have demonstrated your love for us. And Lord, may all we do be driven and motivated by Christ's love. We ask in his name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. stay with us. You know God's love. You know that he sent Christ for you. Then please do remain with us as we share in the Lord's table together. And please do come back at 7 this evening. We're going to be thinking more about praying with one another. So we're going to be thinking about that in more detail this evening. But allow me just to close with some words of scripture from Romans 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I will rise when he calls my
we approach the table, let's just keep our seats as we sing, "Beneath the Cross of Jesus, I Find a Place to Stand."
The demonstration of our love for each other will only be as great as our understanding of God's love for us displayed at the cross of Christ. We all once were far off, but now in Christ Jesus, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We've just been singing beneath the cross of Jesus, His family is my own. Once strangers chasing selfish dreams, now one through grace alone. How could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? Beneath the cross of Jesus, see the children called by God. This table always has a vertical and a horizontal dimension. It's a reminder to us of what it costs to bring us near to God and also unite us to each other in Christ. It costs the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And may we never take lightly what God has achieved for us through the cross. So let us take some time now and pray together. Thank God that we have been brought near to Him through His Son's sacrifice, and thank Him that we have been brought near to each other, that we are one in Him, one body, one man in Christ. So let's take a few moments. If a couple could pray, and I will close for us, and then we will share in the bread and wine together.